Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We are holding on the very top of daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, right at the first word of the page. Tanya Idach. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha Alei Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Aslacha, for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we read one of two brises yesterday. We're going to read the second one today, where even though we went through a whole sugya about how we failed to be able to prove from Sukkim that there is such a thing as Yerushas Habal, but there are two brises that assume that the Pesukim are in fact telling us that there's such a thing as Yerushas Habal, that a Baal is Yarishas Ishto, that a husband Yarshins his wife. So we read one of the brises yesterday. Today we'll read Tanya Idach, the second of the brises. Then the Gemara is going to have four explanations of how the brises knew that the Pesuk is talking about a Baal being Yarish's wife, and not just another los hasei or another to divert Yerusha through one's son as opposed to through one's husband. And then the Gemara is going to discuss. We know that when it comes to a bechor being notel pishnayim, a bechor being a yoresh, a double portion, keneged all the other children, the halach is that a bechor is not notel pishnayim. That he doesn't get pishnayim of that which the morish did not yet have in their possession, money that was owed to the morish or something like that. What about a baal being yorish asishto? Is a baal yorish asishto only in that which she was muhzekas in, or even in that which is ra'ui to her, even that which is coming to her? Let's say she predeceased her father and she's an only child, so the father's yerusha was ra'ui to come to her. So when that father dies, does the husband of the now deceased woman receive the yerusha that her father would have left for her, or not? We say no, only that which she was muchzak in her lifetime is a bal yoresh b'ro'i kibbu muchzak. Then the Gemara is going to discuss on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, that we know that a ben is kodem labas when it comes to someone who's being morish to his own children. He has sons, he has daughters, the sons get the yerusha. What if a person doesn't have his own children? And let's say the Yerusha goes to one's sibling's children. So if the Yerusha is going to your sibling's children, because the sibling is no longer alive, normally it would go to your brother, but he's no longer alive, so it's going to his children. So do we say that, or it's going to your sister's children, so your sister has sons and daughters, do we say the sons and daughters get equally, or do we say no? Over there also, ben kodem labas. Now your son, your sister's son. So do we say ben kodem labas, do nephews get before nieces? As well. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the idea that Yerusha is only during the daytime because the Torah uses the word biyom via biyom and chilo asbanav, and somehow does not apply during the nighttime. So the Gemara is going to just sort of explore what that means. Does that mean we don't allow people to die at night? Does that mean that if a person dies at night, that somehow Yerusha doesn't happen, and we just like put all the money in a big pot and save it for a rainy day? What exactly does that mean, that there's no Yerusha at night, that there's only Yerusha during the day? So let's begin. Tanya Idach on the very top of Daf. So Tanya Idach, we have a brisa that tells us, it says in the pasuk, that one cannot divert the nachla from one mateh, from one tribe to another tribe. The Torah is telling us that a woman should not marry someone from a different shevet than her father, because through that, the nachla is going to be diverted to her husband when her husband will yarshin her. I mean, if she predeceases her husband is going to yarshin whatever she got from her father, and therefore that nachl is going to leave her father's shevet and it's going to go to her husband's shevet. Sata Omer, Besibas Habal, are you sure that the pasuk is prohibiting this marriage on account of the fact that she'll be morish to her husband? Oh, Enuel Besibas Haban, maybe we're prohibiting this marriage to a man from a different shevet, not on account of the fact that the Yerusha is going to go to her husband, but that the Yerusha is going to go to her children, and her son is Mesiaches to her husband's Shevet. So it's not that she's going to be passing on the Yerusha to her husband. Maybe there's no such thing as Yerusha Sabal. It's says she's going to pass on Yerusha to her son, and her son is also from a different Shevet. Her son belongs to her husband's Shevet. So is it Besibus HaBen perhaps? So says Gemara, no, Kishu Omer, when the Pasuk says, previously, meaning first we quoted Pasuk Tes, now we're going back to Pasuk Zayin, when the Pasuk says, Velo Sisov Nachla L'Bnei Yisrael Matel Mateh, Harei HaSibus HaBen Omer, that's already mentioned, that's that Pasuk is already talking about diverting the Yerusha through her son yarshining her. Hamani miskay velosis of nachal mimatel matay acher. So what do I do with our pasuk, with pasuk tes, paraklam vav pasuk tes, where it says again that you're not allowed to divert the Yerusha from one tribe to another? Oh, so that must be besibus habala kasam adaber. Since there are two psukim that tell us not to divert from one matah to another matah, so one of them is about diverting the Yerusha by being morish to her son, and the other is about diverting the Yerusha from one matah to another by being morish to her husband. So there you have yet another brisa that assumes that there's such a thing called Yerusha Sabal, and that there's an isser for a woman to marry a man from another Shevet because of this concern of Yerusha Sabal removing the Yerusha from her father's Shevet to her husband's Shevet. So both the first brisa and the second brisa assumed that when the pasuk says v'losisov nachla mimatel matay acher, that it's besibus habal kasam adaber, that pasuk is talking about her being morish to her husband. My mashma, where do you see that in the pasuk? Meaning the pasuk didn't say anything about a husband. The pasuk just said that she cannot divert the Yerusha. Maybe both psukim, like we said in yesterday's daf, maybe both psukim about a sibus haben. Maybe both psukim are about diverting the Yerusha through the son. How do you know anything about a husband? So says Gemara, four possibilities. Possibility number one, simon amar rabba barav shila amar kra, ish. The pasuk says, "Velosis of nachl matel matah acher ki ish benachlaso yidbeku matos bnei Yisrael." Ish implies husband, and therefore it's pashut that the pasuk is talking about a sibus habal because of the word ish that it says in the pasuk. Now it's interesting. We said Simon Amar, so in the Gilyon he says, "Yeah, there's a person named Simon." So this is Simon Amar, meaning just like you'd say Abaye Amar. So there was someone named Simon. So Simon said the following. It's just a very uncommon name. You know, every mesechta, I think they said for the Rugachover, said that every mesechta in both Babli and Yerushalmi has one amora that doesn't appear anywhere in Shas, that has one amora that's entirely unique to that mesechta. That's how he spotted the forgery, that someone had forged a Yerushalmi. Someone had claimed that they had found a manuscript of the Talmud Yerushalmi, and they did a pretty good job making up a mesechta of Yerushalmi. And the Rugachover looked at it and he said, "No, it's not the genuine article. This is not a real Yerushalmi." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because every mesechta has some name, and this person only when they did the forgery, they obviously only use names that exist. So they only use names from other. So maybe Simon is that name. It doesn't come up else anywhere else in Shas. The word Simon comes up all the time in Shas, but maybe as a name, it doesn't come up anywhere else in Shas." The Yaivitz writes, "No, Simon is always something the Gemara says when it's about to give a series of things, so it says the simon for this series, the way to remember the series of proofs, the series of answers, the series of, is with this simon. So there's a missing word over here. It should say imam simon, aleph yud mem mem simon. Why? Because it's a Rashi Tevis of the four answers the Gemara is going to have. Ish yidbeku matos mimata. So that's what it should really say. Not simon omar, but imam simon. That imam is the simon. And answer number one that the simon refers to is omar rabba barav shila omar kra. Ish, that since the pasuk says ish, that's an indication that it's talking about the husband. So the Gemara says, no, you can't bring a raya from for the fact that one of the psukim says ish, that therefore it's a raya that we're talking about the husband, because travayu ish ksiv behu. Both of the psukim say the word ish. The first pasuk also says velosisov nachla l'bnei Yisrael matel matet ki ish benachlas matet avosav yidbeku b'nei Yisrael. So if ish means the husband necessarily, it turns out that both psukim are talking about a sibus habal, and neither of the brises assumed that was true. Both of the brises assumed that one pasuk is talking about a sibus habal and the other pasuk is talking about a sibus haben. So the word ish cannot be the indicator. Now lechora, it's difficult. difficult. How is it possible that the person who gave the original answer, Rabbi Bar Shilu, said, "Oh, it's all on account of the word ish," was unaware that the word ish appears in the other pasuk as well? I mean, you were asking, how do I know that one of these psukim is talking about Hasibus Abal and the other one is talking about Hasibus Abal? He said, "Oh, because one of those psukim say ish," and then the answer back, "No, I can reject that. The other pasuk also says ish." He had to have known that, right? Meaning they're looking at these two psukim and they're trying to figure out what's what. So how did he not realize that both psukim say the word ish? So the Rashbam in Dibra Maskul Tarvayu writes that what he meant was that the Lashon ish tells us that it's talking about the husband, and therefore it makes sense to be mefarish that the pasuk is about the husband. And nevertheless, the first pasuk is not about the husband, even though it says the word ish, because you don't need two psukim to tell me the same din. So we know that at least one of these psukim has to be about the husband because they both use the word ish. They can't both be about the husband because that doesn't make any sense to have two psukim tell me the exact same din. So therefore, it's imeinu inyan, it's like imeinu inyan lezeh, tineinu inyan lezeh. They both seem to be talking about the husband, but they can't. It doesn't make sense that they would both be talking about the same din. So therefore, the second one must be about the son, and ish must be teaching me some other din. But the Gemara rejects. No, but sof, how do I know that Dafka, the second pasuk, is talking about the Baal and not the first pasuk? Meaning by that analysis, it should have been the first pasuk that's talking about the Baal, and then the second pasuk would be the Yemeinu Inyan to say the Ben. That's how the Rashbam understands the Shakla Vitaria over here. Tosus HaRash writes, no, the Tartzin Mamish didn't know that the first pasuk said the word Ish. We do find a number of places that Amoraim were not Bekiyim in Psukim, and this is one such example, and that's what the Tosus writes in Dibra Maskel Tervai, Nami Yid Beku Ksivu. Tosus Tab Tosus writes, Pa'amim Shaloi Bekiyim Psukim, Bechem Latsim Besov Shoshana Chasapara, Mema Nemar Bedibra Sorishonus Tov, Amle Achata Shoalni, instead of asking why it doesn't say Tov, ask me if it doesn't say Tov. Meaning it sounds like they were having a conversation, the Amoraim were having a conversation where they weren't really sure what the pasuk says. So Tosus says, this is a famous Tosus, but Basu Kufir Gimel, that Pam Shaloi Bekiyim Bepsukim, that sometimes the Amoraim were in fact not such great Bekiyim in Pesukim. It's just difficult. It's difficult to say that, meaning that's how they made their living, right? Meaning that all they did, the Amoraim were dashing Pesukim. They learned the Torah Shebal Peh from the Torah Shebal Ksav. So to say they weren't even familiar with the Torah Shebal Ksav is a big tzarechi. And the Tshuvas Ma'aril, he says, "V'im kein al rabbeinu mechabrim tzarich iyun." He says, "Very, very difficult to say about Amoraim that they didn't know psukim." So the Divrei Cheskel writes in the sefer called Kvod Chacham. It's quoted here in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta that he says, "Ala b'libi that it must be a tos sofer and tosos." That I rather than saying the Amoraim were not bekiyim in psukim, that it must be that we're not Pekiyim in how to read Tosfos. The Tosfos is a Tos Sofer here, that it doesn't mean to say Lo Yibikiyin, but Lo Hayu Medaktikin. And he says, and it's Mukhrach from Tosfos themselves, because Tosfos doesn't make any sense, because Tosfos says Lefamim Lo Hayu Bikiyin. He says, I don't know what that means, Lefamim Lo Hayu Bikiyin. If a person is a Baki, he's always a Baki. If he's not a Baki, he's never a Baki. Meaning, what does that mean, that Lefamim Lo Hayu Bikiyin? So I would have thought it meant that they knew most of the psukim, but they didn't know. So every once in a while, they didn't know all of the psukim. But Dvarei Cheskel says no. It means that they sometimes weren't paying such careful attention to the. They weren't being so medayik and medaktik in the psukim, which luchora doesn't make it any better. Right? That's the problem. Meaning to change. So they weren't careful. They were sloppy in terms of how they dash in the psukim. That's very difficult as well. In the Sefer Mishan Mayim, he quotes over here, he says that Liman HaMikra in the days of Chazal was very, very common. It was something that there was the primary learning. Everyone was osek in the Liman of the entirety of Tanakh, and it was Shagur B'fi, B'fi Kol. Everyone knew the Tanakh, and that's why they would always use Asmachtas from any Pasuk in Tanakh, because in Pesukim in Tanakh, people no one would learn, no one would dare learn Mishnah or Gemara until they first learned the entirety of Tanakh. So when someone darshans a pasuk, you better know that they knew the pasuk in its entirety. He says all the marmakomos that we're given on the side of the Gemara, that the pasuk here is the pasuk is there. They didn't need any of that when they published the Gemara. It was understood for many generations, but that's diametrically opposed to what Tosfos says, that sometimes they weren't pikiyim in the pesukim. Very difficult line in Tosfos. So anyway, that's the first answer. So again, the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that the pasuk is talking about a husband? So the first answer was because it says ish in the pasuk. The Gemara rejects the first answer because it says ish in both pesukim. So answer number two, Ella Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Kra, the pasuk says yidbeku. It says Losisav Nachman Matel Matel Achar Ki Yish Menachel So yidbeku. The lashon of dibuk is something that describes husband and wife. V'davak b'ishto, the pasuk says in next week's parsha, right? In parsha Bereishis, right? So you see that the lashon of dibuk applies to a husband. So it says, well, no, but tarvayu yidbeku ksiv behu. It says yidbeku in both of the psukim, and that's what we just pointed out a moment ago, that Tosas says, this is where Tosas says, they weren't such bekim in psukim, obviously, if they didn't realize that tarvayu yidbeku ksiv behu. I don't know why Tosas waits till tarvayu nami yidbeku ksiv behu instead of just saying on ish, right, where the Gemara already made that indication. So Ella Amar Rava Amar Kra. So a third possibility that the pasuk says Yidbuku Matos, that the lashon is mashma the Baal, because through the nisuin he's medabek his mate to the mate ishto and not going on the ben, meaning the ben doesn't do anything to attach his mate to anybody else's mate. It's a husband that does that. When a husband marries a woman from a different shevet, he's attaching his shevet to another shevet. Sometimes people from different communities marry each other and it forms a bridge between those two communities, a connection between those two communities. So that's what a husband does when he marries someone from a different mata. And then the Gemara brings another raya, Ravashi Amar Amarkra, mi matel mata acher, ubein lav acherhu. It says from one mata to another mata, that's shaykh to the husband, because he's an acher when it comes to his wife. But a son is not an acher when it comes to his mother. He's considered uber yerachimo. He's considered an extension of his mother. He's not considered something outside of his mother, something that's separate from his mother. So that's the indication that we're talking about a sibas habal and not a sibas haben. Okay, good. So now we had two brises that both made the assumption that there is such a thing called Yerushas Habal. We had four answers as to how those brises knew that any of those psukim are about Yerushas Habal. So Yerushas Habal exists. Now the Gemara says, let's get into some of the details of the dinim of Yerushas Habal. If Yerushas Habal exists, considering that Yerushas Habal exists, is a bal yorishes ishto beraoi kibamuchsak. We know that when it comes to a bechor being notel pishnayim, a bechor does not get beraoi kibamuchsak, because the pasuk says ki es a bechor ben asnu yakir lo seislo pishnayim bechol asher yimatzei lo, that not raoi li himatzei bechol asher yimatzei lo, a bechor gets pishnayim. So the Gemara says, and what about a bal? So I'm Rabbi Avo, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Rabbi Yanei, I'm a Rabbi umatu ba mishmed Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. And some say it was the name of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, minayin lebal she'eino notel beroi kibamuchsuk. How do I know that a husband does not get beroi kibamuchsuk? What does it mean, rotwi for the woman? That which she would have been rotwi to yarshin after she had died, meaning nechasim that she did not yet have a hand on, but she would have yarshin them at some later time. Like, for example, the woman predeceased her own father. If she would have been alive when her father died, she would have gotten her father's Yerusha, because she didn't have any brothers. But now that she predeceased her father, she never got her father's Yerusha. So does a husband get former father-in-law's Yerusha, his deceased wife's father's Yerusha? Does he get Beroi Kibamuchsak? Now, just the name Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Tosos makes a note over here that even though the name does come up elsewhere in Shas, Tosos over here discusses it. What kind of name is Karcha? Rabbi Shua, the son of Karcha? Karcha is an actual name. We still name kids Yeshua. I never heard of a kid named Karcha. So where does Karcha come from? So Tosos quotes two opinions. Number one, he quotes the sheet of the Ri, that it's a nickname for Rabbi Akiva, and he was called Karcha because he was Kireach, he was bald. So it was Rabbi Shua, the son of the bald guy. So that's why they called him Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. But as he was really Rabbi Shua, the son of Rabbi Akiva, because we know that Rabbi Akiva had a son named Yehoshua, so it makes sense that this would be Rabbi Shua, the son of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Natam says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Meaning, if a person has a physical characteristic, you're not supposed to give them a nickname by that physical characteristic. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says really horrible things about people who are Mekanel Shem L'Chavero. You're not supposed to call people by someone shorty or fatty or whatever. Any physical characteristic, the whitey, all the nicknames that they used to have decades ago in America, that people would use. So that's not, you're not allowed to do that. So it's unconscionable that the Gemara would say Rabbi Shua ben Karcha because his name is Rabbi Akiva. That's what I always like to quote that. I think it's a tshuva in the Rav Pa'alim, where someone asked, what if you have two people in shul? Apparently they had such a problem that two people that both had the same name, and their name was Chaim. So to distinguish between them, one of them was very tall, so they called him Chaim Aruchim. So is that a problem? It's like, it's a bracha, call it Chaim Aruchim. So that's a complimentary nickname, a bracha of a nickname. So that's why it was a shaila over there. Rabbi Natam rejects this, and he says that it's not roi to call him that. So the Rabbi Natam says that it's not a kinoy. His name was Karcha. So why is Karcha any more of a surprise to you than the name Korach? Right? Meaning there are names that maybe you're not so familiar with. They used to be somewhat popular names. So anyway, so how do I know that a husband does not get the Yerusha Baratway that he only gets b'muchsak, and I need a pasuk to tell me this, the Rashbam points out, because misvara I would have said that the bal da is yoresh b'ra'ui, and that the son would not get the Yerusha b'ra'ui, and the reason is because nechasim that are muchsak b'yada, the bal comes before anybody else, the bal even comes before the son. Now when there is no bal, the son is yoresh, and the son is yoresh b'ra'ui, so it's a kal v'chomer if when the ben is yoresh his father or mother, he's Yorish even Bera'oi, so a Baal is Yorish Ishto, who comes before the son in the Yerusha. He's higher on the line in the Yerusha, should for sure be able to be Notel Bera'oi. And therefore, I need a pasuk to tell me that he's not. So that's why we're asking, where is the pasuk? Minayin lebal sheino notel beroi kibamutzak. Shenamar says the Gemara pasuk is in Divrei Yamin, and it's a pasuk we've already quoted. Skuv holidus Ya'ir vayihi lo esrim v'shalosh arim be'eretz Hagilad. That Ya'ir had 23 cities in Eretz Hagilad. So from the fact that it says that these 23 cities belong to Ya'ir, it sounds like they did not belong to his father. So lechora, that's difficult. Where did Ya'ir get Nechasim? Where did he get cities that did not belong to his father? It must be that Skuv married a woman and these cities belong to her parents, Umesa, and then the woman died when her father or her mother were still alive. She predeceased her parents, and therefore their Nechasim were not yet in her possession while she was alive. Life, but they were ra'oi to come to her possession, so because they didn't have any sons, they only had this woman, they only had this daughter, Umesu Marisheha, and then her parents died after she died, Yarsha Ya'ir, and her son was the one that yarshened it, not her husband. Why wasn't her husband the one that yarshened it? Because it was only Beratwi, it wasn't yet Muchsuk, it wasn't something that the wife had during her lifetime, and therefore the son yarshened grandpa's 23 cities, and that's how Ya'ir got these 23 cities. He yarshened it, but his father Seguv, who was only married to the wealth, who was only married to the, did not get those cities because they were only Ratwi in his wife's lifetime. V'omer, and another raya, Ve'elazar ben Aaron Meis, Ve'yikbru, we said that Elazar ben Aaron died and they buried him, Be'givas Pinchas Bino, in the giva that belonged to Pinchas' son. So again, sounds like this giva belonged to Pinchas, but did not belong to Elazar, his father. Well, minayin the Pinchas shelo hayilo le'Elazar. Where did Pinchas get anything that didn't belong to his father Elazar? Melamit shenasa Elazar isha umesa bechayi morisheha. It must be that Elazar got married and he died, and the woman that he married died while her parents were still alive. So whatever they owned, this giva had belonged to them, and it was only rotwi to come to her, and then umesu morisheha. after she died, her father died, v'yirusha Pinchas. So the grandson, Pinchas, got the Yerusha, not the husband, Elazar, because the husband is not Yorish, b'roi, kibbutzak. Only the grandson will be Yorish, b'roi, not the husband. Umayva Omer, so they asked the Gemara, why do I need a second Raya? Why do I need a Pasuk in Yoshua? Why is it not enough to have the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim? So Gemara says, well, first we quoted the Pasuk that deals with the Yerusha of Yair, but v'chi tema, maybe you're going to say that's not such a great Raya, because maybe Yair did not, we made up that whole story, meaning we just know that Yair owned something that his father didn't own. So we made up a whole story to say that's the only way this ever could have happened, that the father married someone, then he married a rich girl, and that girl predeceased her parents, and that we made all that up. There are other ways that Yair could have owned something. So v'chi tema Yair tavanasavitza umesa viarta. Maybe Yair himself got married to a rich woman, and she died, and he inherited her. So that's where he got stuff that did not belong to his father, because he married a woman that had no chasim. Meaning, it's a much more simple explanation of where this came from. In general, Rav Shach always points out that in Tanakh, you always have to realize that the Tanakh tells us like 2% of the story, meaning there's only so much that was canonized in Tanakh, and there was a lot more going on. So that's why, and when you learn all the Divrei Chazal, so then you get 5% of the story. So that's why he's opposed to the derech of learning Tanakh, where people fill in the other 95%. We don't know the other 95%. So, people assume, so this must be that. And that could, there are endless possibilities of what the other 95% of the story. We're supposed to try to understand that 2 or 4% as best as we can. So anyway, so Talmud Omer, the Pasuk says, that Elazar ben Aaron died. V'chi tema, and if you're going to say that even that Pasuk is not a Raya, because it doesn't talk about Karka, that he was Yorish, that Pinchas was Yorish from his mother, maybe the Nafalib is Techaramim, maybe he was a son that a person was machrim to hegdish that gets divided to kohanim at yovel. So maybe that's how we got it. So you can't bring a raya that a husband is not yorish b'ra'ui. So amakra, that's why the pasuk says b'no, that Elazar was buried in Givas Pinchas b'no. That lashon is extra. We know what Pinchas's relationship with Elazar was already. It's known that Pinchas was b'no of Elazar. So why does it say b'no? To tell me nachla ru'i lo v'yarsha b'no. It's to tell me that this was a nachla that really you would have thought would have gone to the father, but it didn't. It went instead to the son. So that's how I know that the son didn't get it by taking it from a cherim of Kohanim. He didn't get it by marrying rich. No, the son got it from the mother. And therefore, you would have imagined that it would have gone to the husband, that it would have gone to Elazar first. But Afal Pikein, it didn't. Why? Because it was only rotway to the mother. It was not muchzak by the mother. Had the mother been muchzekas in it, then enochinami, it would have gone to her husband when she died. But since it was only rotway to her, it did not go to the husband when she died. It went to her son. It went to Pinchas, not to Elazar. And therefore, when Elazar died, he was buried in the givas Pinchas, but no, in the giva that belonged to the son Pinchas, but that had never belonged to the father, to Elazar. Okay, so that is the discussion about a husband not getting Barotwi. So now the Gemara moves on to a different discussion. The Mishnah had said, Ubnei Achos, that the sons of the deceased sister will be Nochel v'lo Manchilin, right? They will Yarshin, but they will not bequeath to their uncle, right? So that's one of the stages of Yerusha, is if a man dies and he doesn't have any children, and he doesn't have any brothers, but his sister has children, so then they get this. Is the proverbial rich uncle, right? The rich uncle died, and now they get the Yerusha. So Tana b'nei achos v'lo b'nos achos. The Brisa says that the din it says in the Mishnah is only that the sons of the sister will get the Yerusha, but not the daughters of the sister. The nephews will get the Yerusha, but not the nieces. L'mayhuch, so what halacha is the Tana of this Brisa trying to teach me? It can't possibly mean that b'nos achos do not get Yerusha at all, and that even if the sister had only daughters and had no sons, that they don't get the Yerusha, because we know that that's not true. But Makom She'ein Ben, Abbas is Yoreshes. So since the mace didn't have any brothers, and his sister really should have Yarshined him, so Mela, when the sister dies, then without any sons, the halacha is that her daughters are going to Yarshin it. So that can't be. The halacha can't just be that nieces are excluded, nieces never get Yerusha. Not true. If there are no nephews, then for sure nieces are going to get Yerusha. So what do you mean? B'nei achos v'lo b'nos achos. Some Rav Sheshes, like you would have imagined, l'kadein, that is coming to tell me to be makdim, the banim, to the banos. Not only is that a din in Yerusha's av, that when children are yarshening from their father, that the sons get the Yerusha and they just use the money to support the sisters, but the sisters do not, the daughters do not get Yerusha, it also applies to all other levels of krovim. That whenever you have a level of karov, where there are siblings, there are boys and there are girls, the boys are the ones that get the Yerusha if they exist. And only if there are no boys that exist, do the girls then get the Yerusha. So Gemara brings a brisa that explains the makar that we're for this idea, that a ben is always kodem lebas. So Tani, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Tana Braisa Kamed, Rav Huna, in front of Rav Huna, that it says in the Parsha of Yerusha, Pasuk says, I'll read the whole Pasuk, V'im ein achim la'aviv, if the father doesn't have any brothers, u'nesatim esnach laso l'she'iro ha'karov elav mi'mishpachto, and therefore you give the Yerusha to someone else who is a closest relative. Via rash, osa, the word via rash is the only word the Gemara quotes over here, so that Pasuk is talking about a Yerusha shnia, meaning it's not a Yerusha's ben of a father, it's a Yerusha of a more distant relative. And the letter Vav in the beginning of the word, via Rash, is coming to tell me that a din that we were talking about up until now, when we were talking about Yerusha's haben, is going to apply to second level Yarshim also. Meaning one of the dinim that we were just referring to at the first level Yarshim, a ben or a bas, will apply to second level Yarshim as well. So Makish Yerusha Shnia LeYerusha Rishona. We're making a Hekish. The Pasuk itself, the Torah itself, is linking Yerusha Shnia with Yerusha Rishona as follows. My Yerusha Rishona Ben Kodem Labas. Just like on the first level Yerusha, a son comes before a daughter when it comes to Yerusha's Av, when it comes to Yerusha of their father, and it's only if he doesn't have any sons that the daughter is going to get the Yerusha. How do we know that to be true? Because that's Beferish. That Ishki Yamos, Uben Eino, Vavartim is not Chlasso Lebito, the Pasuk says. Only if he doesn't have a son will the Nachla go to the daughter. So Af Yerusha Shnia, so too Yerusha Shnia, Ben Kadam Labas, the son will come before the daughter. And only if there are no sons that are relatives on that madrega, does the Yerusha go to the daughter on that very same madrega. Now the Rashbam writes that Yerusha Shnia means Yerusha of other krovim, like Yerusha Sachei Ameis Vachei Aviv, that in that case also Ben Kodem LeYerusha. I mean, let's say a man dies and he has brothers and sisters, right? So the brothers come before the sisters. Let's say it's Sachei Aviv, it goes to an uncle, but he has uncles and aunts. His father had brothers and sisters, also the brothers before the sisters. And he says, according to this, the Braisa could have quoted the pasuk of Yerusha's Ach, which it says right after the din of Yerusha Rishona, because it says V'mein lo bas v'nesatam esnachlaso liachiv. That's the very next pasuk is liachiv. It doesn't go on to talk about your nieces and nephews next. The next level up is one's the next level down from your own children is one's own siblings. So we could have made this hekesh right there, but the Braisa wanted to quote the pasuk that talks about the last level of Yerusha that's actually mentioned in the Torah to say that even that is hukash liYerusha Rishona. Meaning, not only is it true that at level 2 we say Ben Kodem Labas, but level 3 and level 4, meaning at all the levels of Yerusha, the Ben is Kodem Labas. And that's why we're Dafka highlighting it in the context of nieces and nephews, because nieces and nephews are pretty far down the list. So you see that Yerusha Rishona means the Yerusha that it says in the Parsha, which is the Yerusha of a son to a father, and all the other Yerushos are all referred to as Yerusha Shnia. Yerusha Shnia doesn't just mean second level, it means second level, third level, fourth level. It means anything beyond the first level. And that's how a number of the Rishonim understand. However, Tosos writes in Dibur Maskil Makish that he does that the Reed does not believe that that is correct. It doesn't say in the Parsha of Yerusha Beferush about Yerusha of sisters of the mace or aunts of the mace, but by Bnei Achi Aviv. It doesn't say anything else. So how does Rav Sheshes know to be mefarish the brisa that bnei achos hames are kodem to bnos achos hames? So the Reis says that Yerusha Rishona means the madrega of Rishona to the mace, meaning the bnei hames and his brothers, whoever's his direct relative. All of them are called Yerusha Rishona, meaning his own brothers are also Yerusha Rishona, because they are a direct relative. It's not through somebody else that they're related. Yerusha Shnia is a second-level relative, like Bnei Banav, like grandchildren, and Achei Aviv. So that we learn from the Pasuk Ben Ein Lo, which is Ayein Olav, that you have to look beyond. You have to look to Yerusha Shnia. So it's just a machlokas Rishonim and how to label what's Yerusha Rishona and what's Yerusha Shnia. But be that as it may, the limud is the same. The limud is that if on the level of Yerusha Rishona, a ben is called the Mabas, on the level of Yerusha Shnia, a ben is also called the Mabas. Period. Now the Gemara moves on to another discussion. Tani Rabbi Bar Chanina Kamed Rav Nachman. Rabbi Bar Chanina taught the following brisa in front of Rav Nachman that about Yerusha's ben HaBechor. It says, Vahaya biyom anchilo as banav. Why does it say biyom? So we learn from there, biyom atamapil nachlos, v'atamapil nachlos balayla. That Yerusha only happens during the daytime, but Nachla does not pass, Yerusha does not go on during the nighttime. So Abaye understood that the Brisa means to say that you can't be Morish during the nighttime. So he says, but that doesn't make any sense. Amalei Abaye, Ela Me'ata, Deshachu B'Yamama, if someone dies during the daytime, Hu D'Yarti Le'Bnei, so then his children are going to Yarshin him? Man Deshachu B'Leile, Lo Yarti Le'Bnei. So the guy's holding by dying, and it's almost Shkia, so the children are going to be like, please, 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 you know, like the children are only going to Yarshin if it happens during the daytime. They're not going to yarshin if the guy's neshama leaves him during the nighttime. That's we never find such that. That's impossible to believe. So it says the Gemara, Dilma din nachlos ka'amrit. Maybe what the Brisa is telling us that when you're osik in a din Torah related to Yerusha, so if Bezin is going to be done a din Torah, who gets this Yerusha? Who doesn't get this Yerusha? They should only have that din Torah during the daytime. They should not have that din Torah during the nighttime. Titanya, because we have a brisa that says there's another brisa that the Torah says in the end of the parsha of Yerusha, v'haisa l'bnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat. So we learn from the fact that it calls it a chukas mishpat that ura kola parsha kula lios din, that the entire parsha that deals with Yerusha is treated as a din, that the chalukah of Yerusha is not stam like whenever shutafim, whenever you have partners that want to divide an estate between them, that they just divided. No, it has all of the other halachos that you would have whenever you are done a case of dinei mamonos. It has all the normal characteristics of dinei mamonos, such as you need three dayanim to deal with it, and since it says in the parsha biyom anchilo, so we learn from there that the chaluk of nachlos has to be during the daytime, and that's true of every, and we learn from therefore that must be true of every din Torah, that every din Torah must be done during the daytime, and that's what the Brisa said that Rabbi Bar Chanina is quoting, that only but during the daytime we're dan dina Yerusha, not during the nighttime. L'chora, the Rashbam points out, it's difficult because the Brisa that Abaye quoted learned this din of Chalukas Yerusha having to be done during the day from Chukas Mishpat, whereas the Brisa that Rabbi Bar Chanina is quoting learns from the Pasuk Vayo Biyom Anchilo Asbanav. So why do I need two psukim to tell me the same thing, that it's only during the day and not during the night? So the Rashbam writes, you do need two psukim. The Pasuk Biyom Anchilo teaches us that the din Yerusha ben es aviv has to be during the day. Pasuk Chukas Mishpat tells me, and all other Yerushas also have to be during the day. That's not only true of Yerushas Benes Aviv, that's true of all Yerushas that they need to be done during the day. Now this halacha that we quoted, the Kud Rav Yehuda, is aligned with the Shita of Rav Yehuda. The Amr of Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda taught us, Shlosha Shenichnasu Levakar Eschola, if you have three people that go to visit a Chola, who's about to die and he wants to divide his estate, so Ratzu, if they want to just be Edim to what he's saying, and not to serve as a Beis Din to divide the estate, so Kosfin, they can write down whatever he's saying, and they'll bring that Sava'a that he left, and testify that this is what he said to some other Beis Din, and that Beis Din will determine, will paskin, where all the money goes. But they themselves, the visitors themselves, cannot become the Dayanim, because they are already the Edim on this matter, and Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. But if they want to be the Dayanim, there are three people that walk in to be Mevakar the Chola, and they decide that they want to be the Dayanim, so Sindin, they could go and divide the estate based on their own functioning as a Beis Din. Even though he wasn't made Bifnehem, they could always be done. Shnayim Kosvin Vein Osindin. If it's two people, they can only be Kosev, they cannot be Osindin. They can only write the Eidos, because they can't serve as a Beis Din. And Rav Chista commented on Rav Yehuda, Lo Shanu El Bayom, this din that three people who come to be Mevakar HaChola are able to be Dayanim and to divide the Yerusha based on their own functioning as a Beis Din, that's only if it's during the daytime, because they heard it during the daytime, and therefore they could be done on that very same day about the Yerusha. So once they agree to be Dayanim and it's daytime, that's perfectly fine. Aval Belaila Afilu Shlosha Kosvin Ve'Enosin Din. But had it been at nighttime, then even if it were three people, yes, they could be Kosvin, but Enosin Din. They cannot do Din. My time, what's the reason that if they heard it Belaila, they're not able to be done? To Havaluhu Eidim Ve'Enei Nasadayin. Because they heard it at nighttime, they're not eligible to be Dayanim, they're only eligible to be Eidim, and once they became Eidim, they're not able to be Dayanim. That's how I meant to explain the brisa. The tafka biyom, you could be done with chalukas nachlos, and you cannot be done with chalukas nachlos belaila, and not the way you originally understand that. If someone dies at night, that the Yerusha doesn't pass on to the children. Okay, have a good yantiv, everybody. A good day, everybody. And tomorrow we'll pick up tafkuf yudalit at the top.